When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was a
welcome to hour two.
The A on my chest, look at
the Astros have the a on my chest, put your fist up. Early game, 1-10. First pitch as they try to sweep the Tigers. It'll be on MLB Network if you're looking for it. Part of an interesting doubleheader for the city of Houston. John's going to both games. He's going to Astros Tigers and then heading over. Well, maybe not immediately. I'm sure there'll be drinks in between. Multiple. And then he'll head over to Toyota Center for Game 5, Rockets and Warriors. But the Astros win another one. Gusto on the mound. Gave up first inning home run, hit a guy, but limited the damage, and eventually the Astros bats got going. And the formula is one where you're getting pretty good solid starting pitching. You know, you have a not so good start from Fromber, and he's been at this point the main culprit for the up and down stuff because we know Hunter Brown's been an ace. And whatever you get from Ronel Blanco, this point you'll take, and he was good enough in this series, and then of course, Gusto last night. So 6-4 the final. I guess as long as Altuve's playing left, he'll bat second now. If he has to play any games at second, does he go back to leadoff? Because it was positioned as he's a little rushed when he has to run in from left field and bat first. So maybe it's strictly about playing that position, which will be his dominant position this year. And when he gets opportunities to play second, he'll be back in leadoff. But Pena in the leadoff spot. And Paredes at home, pretty good. Now the road, the numbers are atrocious. So take advantage of the 81 games here and see if you can get those averages and those numbers up. And as we've talked about, Christian Walker's getting it going a little bit too. Another RBI extra base hit yesterday. And Paredes involved in that, Alvarez. So the bats are picking up. Now, where they end after the season, considering the bad starts for several of those guys, who knows? But if we can go first 20 games and or maybe even just first 10 games and next 20 games, the bats have been different, and the runs are coming in. We talked early in the year about lack of crooked numbers, and that's changed. They had a couple three spots last night to win that game 6-4. So the Astros, another win. Hader, not as great as he has been in what was not a safe situation. So that streak of his is over. But you'll take it in a game like that. If you're going to give up runs, give it up in a game where you have that type of cushion. So he came in up 6-2, gave up a couple runs to the Tigers, a homer by Torres. But Hader's been great, so... Four-run lead to give up to, whatever. Not a big deal. That's the time to have an off night. So 6-4 the final. As I said, 1-10 today for the Astros. And it's Blumbaugh tonight, or excuse me, this afternoon. It led to jokes this morning that we will not repeat because we're not bit stealers. We don't steal jokes. We're not Robin Williams. You go, why would you say that?
Whoa.
I didn't say it. Damon Wayans said it. It was a clip for Ship Talk. Didn't play it, but Damon Wayans accused Robin Williams of stealing jokes. He said comedians didn't want to go on ahead of Robin Williams because he would take their material. He said it about a legend.
Yeah, you could have just made the easy layup, Carlos Mencia.
Nah, that's why you see the point is you got to hit him with something new. If I say Mencia, you expected Mencia, but I hit you with Robin Williams, I got you going, whoa.
And Mencia's fun. Like, it's fun to be like, yeah, that guy, that loser. Don't do that.
Don't do it. Damon Wayans did it.
You did it.
No, I did
on
it.
On this show.
Yeah, but I'm not
Damon
the
Wayans
one.
Damon Wayans could say it every day of his life, and if you didn't say it, we wouldn't have talked about it.
Well, sorry. If Damon Wayans hadn't said it, I wouldn't talk about it. He's the one who put it out there, and I saw it. He said it without hesitation. God. And by the way,
he's taking down Miss Doubtfire.
He doesn't think it's that big of a deal. He goes, it's not like these jokes are saving the world. These are his thoughts. So what? He stole jokes. It's not that big of a deal. It's not something I focus on. It's just the truth. It's what he did. People were concerned about telling jokes in front of Robin Williams. I didn't know the Robin Williams hive was here.
Yeah, right here.
Big fan of Doubtfire too, right?
Yeah. Jumanji? Flubber?
I love Jumanji. Flubber, not so much. Well, I don't care.
You know you didn't love science movies.
I didn't love the original Flubber. Flubber. I don't even like the name.
That is such a movie. It's a movie I've legitimately probably seen double-digit times, only because it was one of the VHSs we had in school. And so whenever there was a day off or our teacher was sick or hungover, we would just watch Flubber. And so it's just seared in my brain.
And Flubber was pretty much the absent-minded professor. That's the original version. That one's actually pretty good. But
now you're doing this on purpose. The genie from Aladdin. You're just like, I actually like the genie from the second movie.
No,
more.
Actually, I do not. I would never say that. Dude, I didn't even watch this. I didn't watch the live-action one. Never will. That's how I say
Will that. Smith, not your genie?
Never. That's why I said never will. Never Will Smith. Sorry, Absent-Minded Professor, the original's better. I remember watching that. They would throw that on because one of my teachers was very old school. Like, still VHS time at that point. You're rolling that stupid TV on that little cart, or whatever you call that thing. Time for the Absent-Minded Professor.
See, that's the generation gap between us.
That's right.
Mine was Flubber. Yours was Absent-Minded Professor.
And it's only mine is because my teacher decided he wanted.
It's your generation.
It's not my generation. It was that teacher's generation. And for whatever reason, the Absent-Minded Professor was a movie he decided should be shown when he was absent. And a TA, excuse me, not a TA.
Oh,
but
I get it.
But a sub was in.
Absent-Minded Professor. He's absent.
I wasn't in on the joke at the time, but that was his joke.
Yeah.
See?
I'd be like, come on. Can we do Mighty Ducks or something? Air Bud?
Air Bud's never. Get that dopey golden retriever out of my face.
These are movies that I... That
and these are your movies.
We had VHS copies.
I never cared for the dog who played sports. Never cared for Air Bud. Let's get to Keith. He's got a question about... I'm going to assume it's a quarterback that's not in the headlines, but he thinks we should pay attention to. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Thanks for having me on. I haven't slept since the NFL draft. My question is, the Minnesota Vikings last year, they won 14 games. Darnold's gone to Seattle. Mullins is gone. Daniel Jones is gone. J.J. McCarthy's on their roster. He's had two knee surgeries, never played an NFL game before. They brought in Sam Howell via trade. He's got more interceptions career than touchdowns. You also have Brett Rippon on the roster, who's in the same boat, unproven, journeyman guy. They won 14 games last year. Do you still think the Vikings are in play for Aaron Rodgers? Because it seems like the Steelers might be willing to hold off. Do you think Rodgers gets there? Because they won 14 games. There's no way you can go into the season with a J.J. McCarthy, zero games, two knee surgeries, or Sam Howell.
I don't know why there's no way. Are you going to not play J.J. McCarthy another year? At some point, you got to play him. Once you decide to trade away or allow Sam Darnold to leave, the guy who helped you get to 14 wins, the obvious next step is to take on the task of getting J.J. McCarthy ready for the year. You drafted him for this. You have a good team around him. You have to give him the reins. Well, you don't have to, but the logical step is, hey, you got the rookie redshirt year because of your injury. This team we think is pretty good. Now's your turn. So let's say in your scenario, Keith, that Aaron Rodgers comes in and plays. And he's not washed. He plays well. And Aaron Rodgers still wants to play. Are you doing the thing where you go, you know what, Aaron played well. Sorry, JJ, that's 3 years out of here that you don't get to develop. I get it. Winning and winning now is a big deal. But they made the investment. Their plan was not to play Sam Darnold last year. He just exceeded expectations, and then you add in J.J. McCarthy getting hurt in the preseason. So it feels like J.J. McCarthy's job at this point. You've had a draft. Aaron Rodgers didn't make a decision. And I guess the Steelers believe he will eventually decide to play for them. I do think it'd be funny to watch J.J. McCarthy sit there for two more years and the Vikings go, you know what? Sorry. First Sam Darnold, now Aaron Rodgers. But don't worry, we'll eventually get to you. But you got to play him at some point. What's the point of having a rookie quarterback on that deal when half the deal is spent him not playing at all?
I thought Keith was circling into a Carson Wentz.
I thought he was going to get to one of his obscure guys, but he went with one of the more prominent quarterbacks currently in the game, although Aaron doesn't have a team yet. That was a surprise that he got to Aaron Rodgers. I assumed there'd be some, hey, maybe what's Gardner Minshew up to? Something like that. I don't know.
He actually replaced Carson Wentz as
I know.
Casey's back.
Maybe they should make a trade for Gardner Minshew. Are they really going to go with their rookie quarterback they just drafted? Yes.
Throw a fifth.
It happens all the time. It happens all the time. It's now J.J. McCarthy's time. They may think more highly of him than you do, as evidenced by you trying to replace him, and then they drafted him in the first round. But I appreciate the thoughts, Keith. You're always working, and no one believes you haven't slept since the draft. Why start with that? Who believes that you haven't slept since Saturday? What's the point? Yeah. I mean, because it wasn't even a draft question. It wasn't like he was, or, hey, I broke down all these things. I haven't been able to sleep. I've been giving guys grades. It's none of that. It was about free agency and the destination for Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, I'm caught in the weeds here. I don't know. I'm bothered by the fact that he said I haven't slept since the draft. It doesn't make any sense.
Now I'm kind of thinking it's true because there's no reason to lie about it.
Keith's a big guy, so I think there is a reason why he would lie about it. I just can't find it at all. I'll work through it, guys. I'll get over it. Thanks, Keith, for the call. Anyone else want to add a confounding fact to their call? You can do that too. 713-780-3776. But before we get to all that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And today is one of the rare days where you get a double with Astros and Rockets. You can mix and match. You can also do it some other playoff games. You got Lakers, Timberwolves going on tonight as well. Whatever you want, it's on Prize Picks. And today is an afternoon game for your Houston Astros, so you got to be quick putting in this lineup. And the game is being played at Daikin Park, which means I'm taking a more on Isak Paredes's hits plus runs plus RBI. More than 1.5, there's a chance he gets it on one swing with that tiny, tiny little Crawford boxes. It's the only place he can hit home runs, but that's where he's playing today. So maybe he does hit a home run. Moving to the Rockets and Warriors, I believe. Well, no, I don't really, but I kind of believe. I believe in Jalen Green to score more than 16.5 points. Hey, listen, I know this is controversial, but the number has been dragged down so far by all the other games he's played this series that there is still a chance that he can do it. He can do it one last time for the Rockets, more than 16.5 points. And then Stephen Curry, more than 31.5 points plus assists. I think he had an off night, and a guy like Steph Curry doesn't always have off nights or won't have off nights. back-to-back games in the playoffs. So you can follow my picks or you can make your own. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Let's get the mic. You want to talk about the Astros? If you want to talk about anything, you can follow Mike. Number is 713-780-3776. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Del. Hey, first, I was just going to bring up, I wanted to hear more about, like, the whole Ty Hero thing going on in Miami and, like, see what the reaction was from people over there. So I listened to Dan Levitard and see what he had to say, which that was mistake number one. But, like, I don't know. They were kind of like, I know you're, like, a Miami guy. I don't even know if you're actually a Heat fan or not. But I was just trying to see what, like, the pulse is over there. People, they, I mean, they hate him more than they, you know, we hate Jalen Green over here. But, I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there. But Dan Levitard's show, God, that he is, what a fall from grace that guy has. His show is trash. His show is so bad. And Stu Gotts is still just as horrible as always. But I was going to talk about the Astros. Last night I went to the game, and I know you don't like baseball, but it was a pretty good showing by the Astros. Like, there was a couple of spots where our worst hitters, which was Dubon, he came up, hit a single. And then it was the time for, like, an RBI. Who comes up to bat? Christian Walker, who crapped the bed every chance he had this season, comes up, gets, like, a nice hit. Later on in the inning, another horrible hitter this year, which is Yonder Diaz, comes up and gets another RBI. It was a pretty good showing by, like, the weaker guys on the team so far. I think maybe that's, like, a bright spot in the season, like, showing that, hey, you know what? The guys who are struggling are coming through against a really good Detroit Tigers team. You know, I wish we would score a run before the fifth inning, but, you know, it was a good game. And then lastly, last night was Peanuts night, so they were doing, like, a giveaway thing. Those theme nights, they suck. They do nothing. All they do is, like, the Jumbotron, they do that. And then they're trying to charge $50 for a Charlie Brown bobblehead. If Jim Crane ever, ever says that we can't afford a player, he's a liar. Because if you're going to charge $50 for a Charlie Brown bobblehead, or Charlie Brown bobblehead, that's, I don't believe anything he says. Anyways, that was it. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Mike. A lot to get to. Let's start with the local stuff first. And the funny thing is the Jim Crane stuff, at least to me. I don't think anyone believes that Jim Crane can't afford to pay guys. It's a philosophy not to. And if you go by how these contracts work out for the guys who get the 10-year deals for $30-plus million and more, generally, Jim Crane and his decision-making is the right way to do it. No long-term deals at that type of price for those guys. The team is always going to suffer the consequences of acquiescing to a player's request that way. That's why they don't do it. 6 years at most. And Bregman was a real test case. He was there for two World Series wins. He was part of the transition from awful to great, and they could not come to an agreement, and we assume that Fromber will be next. It's just how they do things. And don't take into account what's happening in the ballpark. Jim Crane's never cried poor. It's just we aren't going to do things that way. And they've been right on the money, even the kind of the emotional thing is, hey, let's keep our guys. So, but I appreciate it. I didn't know it was peanut night last night. I didn't know they sold bobbleheads for $50 either.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't buy a bobblehead for $50. So I get your resignation and your thoughts on Jim Crane when that's part of the deal to go into the ballpark.
Is there a single bobblehead that's worth $50? Do you?
There's not a bobblehead I would purchase. Like, if you want to give it to me for free as a giveaway, okay, I'll begrudgingly take it. Now I got to carry this thing and find a place to put it. But to buy a bobblehead, that's people's things. They like that stuff. It's just not for me. It's simply that. It's not a judgment on anyone. I'm not a bobblehead guy. I'm not buying it. Would actually ask you not to give me one. Where am I going to put that thing? I think I got a Dynamo bobblehead once, and it never came out of the box. Like I think I went to a Dynamo game more as media than anything else, but they were handing out bobbleheads. It stayed in the box. I don't know what to do with those. What am I just going to tap it on the head and watch it? What do I care? Is that a,
yeah?
I'm not a cat or a dog. I feel like that's something a dog would like to watch, a bobblehead bobble. It's not my vibe. As far as the Tyler Hero Jalen Green comp, Tyler Hero was an all-star this year. I mean, he had a great play in, but he, outside of game two where he shot the ball really well, he did not play well, particularly the games at home. The game most recently, the last game of the series, where I think he made his first three and then missed his next nine shots and only scored 4 points. There's a love-hate relationship between the fans and Tyler Hero, maybe very similar to Jalen Green. Like, the internet fan doesn't like Tyler Hero. The fans in the building who are going to games, they're buying his jerseys and cheering him on. But the social media version of that, the people who care what he writes on Instagram when they wanted him out of here and he responds, they're the ones who don't like him. But the paying customer, the people who just go to a couple games a year, they just want to see their guys play, not the ones who are on transaction Twitter and in the trade machine. The people in the building are going to show him love, like Jalen Green. Jalen Green gets love in the building.
The streets love Tyler Hero, is what you're saying.
That's what you said.
The culture.
Nope.
The heat culture.
I don't know if you can use culture if you get beat by nearly 60.
The toughest, hard-hitting, rootiness.
It's pretty. It's great. You know what's great? That they decided not to write that on the floor this year. That would have been a bad time to write it.
I think they have rightfully been like, you know what?
Let's pull back.
It works when we're winning.
Yeah. It's now it's just a point of derision if you're not winning. So that was actually written in the key a couple years ago when they had their
City Connects or
whatever they call it in the NBA.
I think it's just City Edition jerseys.
It was not the case this year, and it's a good time to pull that writing from the paint in the key. But
that would have been tough if they were on that court getting blown out by 60.
Yeah, bad look all around. So that's not there. But Jalen Green.
Yeah, Jalen Green, if things work out, he becomes Tyler Hero.
You would hope that he becomes an all-star. Like, Tyler Hero has improved year after year. There's just, and I've said it before, there's a certain thing, you know, being the white American player who's got the haircut that he has, sounds the way he does, that's going to bother people. Let's be honest.
Like, the voice is tough.
We're talking about how the NFL may or may not have reacted to Shedeur Sanders because the way he acted and all the showiness or whatever. There's another side of that, and that's the Tyler Hero side where he's from Wisconsin, but he sounds a certain way. He's the white American player who, I guess you want to say, is flashy, whatever the word you want to use, dating the Instagram model. Now, they got like two kids now, so it's been more than just dating. But there's a certain way people look at him. And that I'm not going to pretend like that's not part of the dislike from certain people.
Yeah, no. I mean, when was it? We, for whatever reason, Paul and I replayed the Amin Thompson
Tyler Hero fight,
including Tyler Hero's response to it.
Yeah.
And his voice is just like,
see, it doesn't bother me.
It's ridiculous.
But it bothers you. In fact, I think it bothers white people more than it bothers black
100,
people.
I actually think that's true.
Yeah.
I think white people are just like, come on, dude.
And then I think,
because we all know that guy.
And I think
we all know Tyler.
And I think the haircut this year got to people too. Like, he had the like floppy hair before, like particularly last year, but the haircut, the low cut, and you could say looks like he goes to a black barber to get it. I think that might have gotten to some people too this year. And, you know, he turned into an all-star, so credit to him for to improving his game.
Again. Yeah, Jalen Green. That's the hope, is that he turns into Tyler Hero.
Which at one point Rocket fans were like, what? No chance.
Yeah.
Now you're hoping. The guy makes an all-star team, and you hope and pray Jalen ascends to that level.
I remember being like, this guy is going to be Kobe at least. And now.
Maybe Jamal Crawford. All right. We'll go to break.
He's in Cam Thomas talks.
We'll go to break with that. Jalen has a chance to change his narrative tonight, at least part of it. Go out there and go put on a great performance.
Yeah, score more than 16.5 points.
Oh,
that'd be great.
That Prize Picks thing?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Do that too. And we'll get you some news for Lance McCullers. We had Mike talk about the Astros, and I referenced Lance McCullers earlier in the week about a return. We thought it was going to be against the Royals. Looks like we have a firm date. Lance McCullers will pitch for the Astros again. It's been since 2022. That's the last time he pitched in the Astros uniform. We actually have a day and a team he'll go against. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Lance McCullers will start for the Astros on Sunday against the Chicago White Sox. So his long return is finally, I don't want to say reached his conclusion because he got to stay healthy, got to pitch, but he's back after years of not being able to pitch for the Astros. Lance McCullers, who hasn't appeared in the Astros uniform since 2022, will pitch on Sunday against the Chicago White Sox. Look, for all the jokes, and they flew aplenty, not just here, but other places. Everyone had their say when it came to Lance McCullers, from calling him a barista to stick with that podcast. You know, other versions of learning Chinese, buddy, all that meme. He's back, man. You got to give him credit for fighting, not giving up. We remember during spring training when he made starts there, or certainly appearances, where he talked about the long road and even considering retiring. And now, he kept that dream alive, and we'll get to see him Sunday against the White Sox. So credit to Lance for making it back. We'll see what he's got as, you know, it's been a slow process. Setbacks, questions, the accusations of stealing money, which what's he going to do? Give the money back after he got the deal? No one's doing that.
Oh.
You're nodding your head yes.
Yeah, do that. Give it to me, actually. That's what
Why is
like.
He giving you millions of dollars?
Because I have to watch him not play.
So you have to watch him not play?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the least he could do. Mm. If he did that, I would love him.
So your contention is if Lance McCullers gave you millions of dollars,
I'd love him.
You'd love him. Yeah. Makes some sense. Sean Mapes can be bought. I always knew that about you. Can be bought. But Lance decided not to, so you've been upset with him. Now you can stop being upset. He'll pitch on Sunday.
Can't wait. Against the White Sox, too, a team that he arguably, I guess, had his second greatest Astros moment against in the 2021 series against the White Sox.
Yeah, he closed them out.
Yeah. Also, is that the one where he probably hurt his arm even more by pitching? I forgot.
Who can say, Sean? I'm sure I could look it up.
I think that's the one. But I think that's the one where there's like a rain out or something and he had to pitch a different day, whatever.
Either way, we're talking almost 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And now he is ready to go.
He's back.
Lance McCullers is back, folks. Not since 2022. So good for him. Good for the Astros. We'll see what he's got. We heard from Mike earlier asking about Tyler Herro, and we made the comp to what Jalen Green could possibly be. Well, with the playoffs come those articles from the big writers at the big club publications, and ESPN has a big article about the Rockets. Tim McMahon wrote it, and it's about the Rockets' pursuit of their next superstar. We remember quotes coming from the organization about the hope that the superstar would come from within. That was the hope while still monitoring the possibility of adding someone from the outside. And that continues to be the tenor of the Rockets' approach, at least in this article, where they certainly do want to exercise some patience when it comes to their roster. This is a quote from Patrick Fertitta. Even though it can be exciting to feel like you're as close as you can be, it's important to move with the same level of patience that got us to where we are and to make sure that we're always making decisions based on not just today, but the future, because we never want to value the near term over the long term. If the right opportunity presents itself, which is key in this, in all these words, where we feel like we can materially get better, we're always going to do the work to know if it's the right thing to do. But in a perfect world, we love to see this group grow together as they already have and become contenders in the league. And goes on to talk about getting better individually and collectively. This series was the first step in finding out if this team could grow together and become a contender. Rockets, as a 2 seed, I never thought of them as a true contender because of their youth, not because of the potential talent that they could reach. Just that's a young team, and young teams don't win in the NBA. You don't have a bona fide star. You have an all-star in Alpi. But where was the growth going to come from? It comes from playing in these type of games, figuring things out. Losing is usually the way it happens. You grow from your failures in the NBA quite a bit. And the Rockets, I won't say they have failed. This season has been a surprise. They've played at a level I didn't think they could as far as winning as many games as they have. And they have a true identity, which is very important. Now that you have that set, you got to find out the guys who are going to carry you forward and take you above just simply being a hard-nosed, hard-to-play, gritty, we-will-challenge-you-on-everything type of team. What's your next level, and can you get to it with the guys on this roster? Maybe it is tonight, maybe it doesn't, but barring some miracle comeback, the questions will begin. They've already started about who should be here, who's, and I put it in quotes, untouchable, and who is someone that should be used to acquire a great player. Will there be any available? Other than Kevin Durant, which is clear that the Suns are going to trade him, the Giannis stuff is purely speculation until Giannis makes a decision. He may decide Milwaukee gives me a great presentation. Don't know what it could be, considering what they have to offer as far as lack of picks and lack of ability to move guys. But if Milwaukee convinces Giannis that's the place for him, then Giannis is off the table. Then who you're talking about? Is it strictly a Kevin Durant type move? Is there a player that we haven't heard about? Because that always pops up. There could certainly be a guy that we don't know anything about that doesn't like his current situation, and the Rockets could be on his list. You just never know. We got several more rounds before we find out.
Nikola Jokic? Wow.
Well, I guess.
I guess we already have Nikola Jokic. But
Baby Jokic.
Yeah.
We have him.
I guess we can trade for him.
Yeah. You never know. As you can always point out, does an organization lose their mind like the Mavericks did and say, we can never win with this guy?
I'll just say don't bank on that.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening again. And would the Rockets be the team that gets in first without the guy being shopped?
Yeah.
A lot of things would have to happen.
Who's Rafael Stone best friends with?
Daryl Morey. Paul Joe.
Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't end in disaster. Tyrese Maxey for Jalen Green? Would you make that move?
Yeah, I'd take the second best Tyrese in the league. Yeah.
Second best, huh? We were trying to do the research because the Jalen Rose stuff is, well, name all the famous Jalens before Jalen. And it popped off here because of all the Jalens that the Texans drafted. You can do the same thing for Tyrese. Name a Tyrese before Tyrese Gibson. Name a famous one.
Can't do it. Name a famous Tyrese that's like born before Tyrese broke out.
Yeah, before Baby Boy, before the music career. The ones we talk about now in sports are Maxey and Haliburton. Yeah,
they're all born 2001.
Yeah, these are all guys who we don't know. But we could guess maybe someone in that family loved themselves, Baby Boy, or the Transformers, like, or Tyree singing, whatever. We don't know.
Or just heard the name, or like, that's a nice
name. That's a nice name. But I know there have been more Tyrese's before Tyrese Gibson, but the most famous of them all
is Tyrese Gibson.
According to anything we can look into, is Tyrese Gibson.
They watch Too Fast, Too Furious, and they're like, I'm going to name my NBA point guard son after
this. It was either Paul or Tyrese.
Tyrese Paul Haliburton.
And they went with Tyrese. So there it is. You can read that article on ESPN. Tim McMahon wrote it. A lot of quotes from Rockets higher-ups about the future of this team. They're open to a trade, but they prefer for the guys they drafted to reach the next step. And it'll all be about patience for this team. Like, this season is likely going to end with the first-round loss, unless, as I said, they come back from the brink. Is a first-round exit the step after winning 50 games that the front office thinks is enough progress to keep them from making a trade? To keep them from sending a younger player, two or three, depending on the guy you're bringing back? Does it keep them from sending them out because you get knocked out in the first round by a Warriors team who, yes, Jimmy Butler has changed their trajectory, but you look at that roster, man for man. You take the Rockets, except for the man at the top of the equation, which is Steph Curry. So I am very interested to see, whenever this Rocket season ends, what they think of their roster as a whole. And we'll find that out if they are frequently involved in trade stuff. And I'll say it again. That all depends on who's available. And right now, all we know about is Kevin Durant. All right, we'll go to break with that. We got one more segment to go. If you want to call in, the number is 713-780-3776. It's me and Sean for one more segment. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Just get to a couple things before we go. Stephon Castle won Rookie of the Year. So that's the second consecutive year the Spurs have won Rookie of the Year. Wimby last year, Castle this year. With the addition of De'Aaron Fox, I think they're going to believe they have a chance to make the playoffs. We'll see about that. But the Spurs, at least we know. Well, the Wimby thing was easy. But there were actually options other than Castle, but they made the choice and they were right on that. It was a weak rookie class, but still. You draft the best rookie. Credit the organization for doing that. This has popped up, and it came because of Jalen Green's struggles. The guys around him and what they've done in his draft class. Cade Cunningham, All-Star, All-NBA. Evan Mobley, All-Star, All-NBA, Defensive Player of the Year. Scotty Barnes, All-Star. Those are 1 through 4. Jalen, none of those accolades. So while development is not linear, guys get better at different times, and certainly your situation matters. Jalen wasn't in the good one for his first couple years, but the response would be Cade Cunningham was in one of the worst situations in basketball over the course of his first couple years, his first 3 years. And we've seen what happened when J.B. Bickerstaff got there, who was fired from Cleveland. And they made the right choice because Kenny Atkinson has them primed for a finals run. Of course, Detroit made the right choice too. Bickerstaff has helped turn them around. Jalen felt like the clear number two. He just happens to not have been able to do what those other guys have done.
I mean, 38 points in game two.
Yeah, what about the
other
What
those guys do? Career high in playoff games. Those guys.
Cool. Evan Mobley in the second round. Won a award for Defensive Player of the Year.
Score 38, then talk to me.
Help win a series.
Whoa.
Like last year. Evan Mobley helped them win a series last year, too. Donovan Mitchell certainly playing a huge part in that. But the point is, these guys, and some of this stuff is team stuff because you're helping your team win, so people are going to pay attention to you, and you win awards, but These guys, even Scotty Barnes has found a way to be an All-Star. Jalen Green, not so much. So
yeah, Western Conference, you know, it's tough.
There is no Western. You can't sneak that by me anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, there still is. But
the
guys
voting is based on who's an All-Star.
And then the guys pick the teams. But
It's tough as a guard in the West to make the in the East, maybe, you know. He sneaks on them.
Yeah,
Tyrese Haliburton, bomb. Overrated.
According to the players, by the way, not by us. The players, not just overrated. They
do you
voted
think Giannis,
most overrated.
Do you think Giannis voted him as most overrated?
I don't know. I don't know how many players they got to.
Because they don't like – the Pacers and Bucks don't like each other.
They don't like each other.
From last year.
Yes, this has been a thing for a couple seasons now, and it certainly played its part in this playoff run as well. The Pacers have issues with the Pistons too. Is that the Central Division?
Yes.
The Central Division has some beef. The Bulls, people barely pay attention to, and rightfully so.
Man.
It's true.
It is true, but, watch out for that Central Division, too.
If you want to fight.
Yeah. And, did all of them make the playoffs?
Well, the Bulls made the play-in.
That counts. I'm counting that. Really, me and Jerry Reinsdorf are counting that.
Well, he got at least one home game out of an extra postseason.
Cha-ching.
Home game. But no one else does because the stats from it don't exist. It doesn't go to your stats. It doesn't go to postseason stats or regular season stats. It's just a void.
We'll never know. We'll never know who scored 38 points in a play-in.
They'll be on your game log, but they don't add to your averages at all or take from your averages if you have a poor game, just how they set it up. Okay, let's get to this. Steve Smith loves a wide receiver, very honest about wide receivers. He was asked about the Texans' latest wide receiver, Higgins out of Iowa State, Jaden Higgins. So, big receiver, can move. Given some Nico Collins. No one wants to be compared to Nico Harrison. Sorry, Nico Collins. Or excuse me, Jaden Higgins. No one wants to be compared to Nico Harrison. But he was comped to Nico Collins because of his ability to be explosive at that size. Here's Steve Smith on the Texans' number two receiver going into 2025.
We are in love with Jaden Higgins. There are people that I talk to in the league that said, I do not want you guys telling everybody what we're seeing, because I want him to slide to us.
We've been seeing a lot of comments in here and say, hey, this is my sleeper. This is my sleeper. This is my sleeper, because I'm wide awake watching his film.
Great job of separation. Can get in and out of breaks. Can drop his weight. Has ability. Physical at the line of scrimmage. He fights through contact. When we compare him to T-Mac, this is what I would love to see T-Mac do, some of these things on a consistent basis where he can fight through getting pressed up. With Higgins, I think that's the difference.
I think somebody's going to sneak into the first round and take him, and everybody else is going to be going, oh,
now, the Texans didn't have to sneak into the first round. They got him in the second. So, a lot of high praise from Steve Smith for the Texans' new receiver. And they need production from – they drafted two. They probably need production from at least one. Because you have Christian Kirk, you expect that to be a spot along with Nico Collins where you get help for CJ. One other guy. They've taken a shot on day two with those two picks, so we'll see. But, hey, so far, the people who are supposed to know what they're talking about, and Lance talked about Higgins, I think, even this morning, too, likes what he brings. So a good pick for the Texans. In the only way we can grade it. What do the experts think? We'll take that.
Yeah. Well, I'll take Steve Smith Sr. at his word. I think expecting one of these guys to have some production, not to walk in and be, the second receiver on this team, but to, I don't know, what, 500 yards from these two guys?
I said number two. I should have put your other outside receiver because – Kirk is a slot guy. You have Nico, and you're drafting Higgins to be, you think, your other outside receiver. Now, you're going to have two guys about 6'4", a lot of size on the outside, and, of course, Kirk and a smaller inside receiver. So they've done what they could to address what was a glaring weakness at receiver. The guard spot is a different story. Lance, big on Higgins, not so much on Ursary. Thinks he can be an average starter. Said that this morning, too. So does he even start this year? Blake Fisher had to wait quite a bit until he started. Does Ursary get on the field in a starting capacity? Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like a rookie tackle is going to start on this team unless he clearly outshines the guys in front of him, because you need a spot for Blake Fisher. And then you made your acquisitions in the offseason with, let's you can say less than impressive guys, at least if you go by 2024, but they did sign him. So I think Ursary could be someone who sits and waits. And maybe he ascends to a swing tackle if he shows out in training camp. But I do like what they did at receiver. I do like the attention being paid to it, because you don't want to enter into 2025 with CJ lacking in weapons and it being a Nico-only type of deal, and then throw in what could be a questionable offensive line, particularly on the interior. And as always, we'll just see how it plays out. That music means we're done for the day. Paul Gallant is up next, followed by the Killer Bees. We got Astros in about an hour and 15 minutes or so. Then, of course, we got the Rockets trying to extend their season. We'll talk about all that tomorrow. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.